Good day and greetings, my friends. Greetings, my friends, and good day. This is Stefan Yah with Yahweh.name, and today on the name of Yahweh and his son, the Messiah, HaMashiach. And we're reading from Micah, and throughout the scriptures, I'll be going to Tehillim, the book of Psalms, as well. In chapter 6 of Micah, that is chapter 6 of Micah, verse 7. Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams, or with the thousands of rivers of oil? Or should I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? That's a messianic prophecy. And also in the King James and most of the modern versions, they mistakenly put in L-O-R-D from Baal and or Baal, and if you look at that word on your device or in the concordance or in a lexicon, it will say Yahweh, Yod-He, Vav-He. That's reading the letters from right to left in the original language. And so will Yahweh be pleased with our sacrifices, or shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of the soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What does Yahweh require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with Yahweh? And in chapter 7, verse 1 of Micah, woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit, reminding me of Pentecost. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. It's symbolic even of today. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks, the judge asks for a reward, for a bribe there. And the great man, he utters his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. They wrap up the matter. Oh, you might continue to read that. Well, here are some scriptures that I copied from my program. What is that? From the eSword program, available free, and it shows all the scriptures. So I just put in the name of I put in the four letter. Yeah, I put in Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. That probably wouldn't work because this is from the King James, the English. So I put in N-A-M-E, five letters, title, N-A-M-E. Psalm 66, Psalm 113, 116, Isaiah 45. So starting with Psalm 66 and then the second verse. Sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise splendid. Then in chapter 69, that's the 69th Psalm, verse 30, I will praise the name of Yahweh with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now let's turn over here to that Psalm 113 now, verse 2. Blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun, actually from the going down of the sun to the rising of the same, Yahweh's name is to be praised. And once again, we look here and have to rectify the some of the English here has been mistranslated. Instead of the name of the Lord that they put in there, or Adonai, or Hashem, and various substitutes, we have to put in what it says there in the underlying Hebrew translation. Or excuse me, this is not a translation. In the original, let's just call it that. People will object, hey, that's not the original. Well, all those copies are gone, you know. But we have made sufficient copies of them. And they are accurate and up to date. It's been proven hundreds of times. That's right. Yes, I agree. And Psalm 116 now, verses 4 and 13. Then I called upon the name of Yahweh. O Yahweh, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh. And I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of Yahweh. In Isaiah, and it's pretty close. In some scriptures, you turn to the right. In the Hebrew scriptures, you turn to the left to Yeshayahu or Isaiah. Chapter 45, Isaiah 45, verse 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, Yahweh, which call thee by thy name, am the mighty one of Israel, or the Elohim of Israel. Then, continue then in Isaiah, in chapter 47 now, let's flip over there, or in your computer, to that Yeshayahu 47 verse 4 was, as for our Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts is his name, the Kadosh One of Yisrael. Isaiah 47, 4. In chapter 48, hear you this, O house of Yaakov, house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, the house of Jacob, called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Yehuda, which swear by the name of Yahweh, and make mention of the mighty one of Yisrael, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they all call themselves, of the Kodesh city, and stay themselves upon the mighty one of Israel. Yahweh of hosts is his name. And in verse 19, thy seed also has been as the sand, and the offspring of the bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. I should get the complete context on that for you, because we're missing something there. We need to read some of the scriptures before and after most of the time and get the whole context of that. So surrounding verse 19, wait a minute, I have to read verse 1. Okay, I see. Which swear by the name of Yahweh and make mention of mighty one of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. That was verse 1. And Yahweh in verse 3 has declared the former things from the beginning. Then and they have transgressed from the womb. But in verse 9, for my name's sake I will defer my anger, and my praise I'll refrain for thee. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, even for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my esteem unto another? Changing the corrupted word to a proper pure word of esteem, give my esteem unto another. Hearken unto me, O Yaakov and Yisrael, my called, I am he. I am the Aleph, and I am the Tav. My hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. And working up toward that 19th verse, let's see. 16 says, this is the word of Yahweh, come ye near unto me, hear this, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there I am, and now Yahweh and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith Yahweh thy Redeemer, the Pure One of Israel, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, which teaches thee to profit, which leads thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst... Now here we are leading up to our critical verse, but in verse 18, talking about Shalom. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also has been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. His name of Israel should not have been cut off. Go there forth of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. And Yahweh has redeemed his servant Jacob, and they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. But there is no shalom, saith Yahweh, unto the wicked. That's a sad epitaph there. Things are really changing, sometimes very slowly, and sometimes quicker in this world. So how about now going to the next chapter? I think... Okay, 49 verse 1, now we have it here in the scriptures from the King James, changing the words back to the original. 49 verse 1, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. Yahweh has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother he made mention of my name. And then, let's check that out here then again. Listen unto me and hearken. Yahweh's called me from the womb, and he has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. He hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me, and said to me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be magnified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. And verse 5, now, saith Yahweh, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, though Israel be not gathered, yet I shall be magnified in the eyes of Yahweh, and my Elohim shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I also will give thee for a light to the Gentiles, or heathen, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Then these next scriptures here, starting in verse 8, the day of salvation all the way through, and the highways shall be exalted. All this wonderful metaphor here, referring to the wonderful thousand-year millennium, and then thereafter, the end shall be peace and no end of his government, as Isaiah 9:6 tells us. So we read these scriptures primarily year-round, but we read them surely at the Feast of Sukkot, or Feast of Tabernacles, and such beautiful. Poetic as well, beautiful scriptures. So we mentioned the name of Yahweh there. That was in the 49th chapter. Then we can go up a little bit to the 50th chapter now, the next chapter in Yeshayahu, or Isaiah. And 50 verse 10. Who is among you that fears Yahweh? I mean, that really fears Yahweh, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of Yahweh and stay upon his Elohim. And skipping to 15 now, but I am Yahweh thy Elohim that divided the sea, whose waves roared. Yahweh of hosts is his name. Now, next we'll probably go over to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 36. There, if I can set this up. Computer, behave. I command you to behave. There we go. Okay, yeah, I'm going to set up Ezekiel next, as Zephaniah, or Zephaniah, and how the music has changed into hard rock in many of the assemblies around. We know that there's still some good music that still exists. Even in the modern music, there can be some good songs, but that we worship. But the 7-Eleven off the wall songs become humdrum of just a vain repetition, and more based upon the beat than on a great feeding of the soul, you know, of worship. If a person were born with that type of music, with hard rock, would that be their new spiritual medium? I don't agree with that. Having been a musician all my life, and having studied it as a musicologist, that I just can't see, you know, that turning up the volume is going to make us to the loudest you can get away with. It's not going to make it any more spiritual. No matter how loud we scream and sing and jump up and down in the altar, it is not going to bring us one inch or tenth of an inch closer to the Almighty Yahweh, or love for Him and His kingdom. No, and in fact, if we go back quite a number of years now, when there's been a transition period throughout the churches and Christianity and so-called, that if we go way back, way back, when I first joined, but that would have been in the 1970s in America, in the western part of America, where they were having quite a transition. But we looked at some of the songs. I want to read some of these titles and perhaps a few verses of their songs, that they were so inspirational, so inspiring, and with great grace and a beautiful melody, harmony, and distinctive lyrics that you could actually understand what they were saying, and we didn't have to put 50 dBs of echo behind it to try to mask our voice, or add any modern artifacts with any of the gadgets. One of the songs was "Come, Pure Spirit, Heavenly Dove." That was a good one for Pentecost. And page 321 here. And I got this song book from where we were keeping the feast at a camp at a place called Odell Lake in Oregon. And they had a nice piano there in the family room, where everyone could just kind of drop in, next to the fragrant fireplace and the glow of the embers and the flickering flames there or something. But we could sing along here. But then they decided that they were going to delegate the old song books to the basement, and then they were just going to throw them away. So I rescued, it's called the Church Service Hymns, and a lot of them by Henry Date. And and then another one of the books was the Pentecostal Hymnal. Those songs didn't, strangely enough, didn't seem to be as good in that particular edition. But this one, "Come, Pure Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with all thy quickening power, kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. In vain we tune our formal songs, in vain we strive to rise. Hosanna languish on our tongues, and our devotion dies. Dear Yahweh, shall we ever live at this poor dying rate? Our love so faint, so cold to thee, and thine to us so great. Come, pure spirit, Ruach HaKadosh, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, come, shed abroad a Savior's love. And that shall kindle ours." And that was the end of the song there, written by Isaac Watts. And it was, that good. That really goes way back. Some of the other titles, there's sea songs that have to do with shipboard, the mariner, a lot of that traveling on the ocean in those gallant ships in those days, the sails set and all that. We've already covered some of those, and they are great, but here's songs about Shemayim, Beyond the Sunset, and When the Roll's Called Up Yonder, you know that one, when we all get to Shemayim, where the gates swing outward never. I love some of those titles. Another one, Beautiful Sabbath. They were actually singing that, Beautiful Sabbath. What's that one like? Let me see. I know you're interested here, so see if I can find this. Oh, they're so beautiful. I'm not going to just dwell on this all day. Oh, there's Love Lifted Me. Then we'll get back to the reading of the scripture and about the names of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Let us esteem His name. Oh, there's Showers of Blessing, and this is Beautiful Sabbath. Day of Yahweh, wonderful joy its hours will afford. Day when people gather in prayer, Yahweh in His temple meeting them there. Beautiful Sabbath, from Taste of Heaven, or Shemayim, sweetest of days to us He has given. Master of the Sabbath, our Mashiach shall receive. Worship and praise, evening till eve. And beautiful, thereby written by Acclaim. And it was supposed to be a duet. You remember the showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us, falling, but for the showers we plead, was the chorus on that one. Well, it has all those good old songs, but also the flip side that you never hear. You'd always, you know, usually have the top 10 or top 50 songs in church, top 20, 7-Eleven songs, off the wall songs, but these, if you really go into it and investigate some of the songs that they never did sing, that weren't on the top 10 in yesterday's churches, nor in today's churches. There's really a lot of, well, creative, inspirational, full of life songs. Then for Thanksgiving, if that's coming up for you in your country, come you thankful people, and you can find some of these songs on YouTube. Come you thankful people for the beauty of the earth. Now thank we all our Elohim, or G-O-D. Rejoice, you pure in heart. We gather together. That was at our recent wedding. We plow the fields and scatter, and we thank thee, O Yahweh. Another title there. Great songs of worship. There's 400 songs in this hymnal. All Hail Emmanuel, that one's okay. Let's see, what was that? I want to pick that up again. We gather together. If I may, if you'll, just a moment here. Well, now, I'm sorry. I think I lost it. Oh, here's another one. The Day of Resurrection. The strife is o'er. Oh, here we go. Okay. I'll go to 403 there. And that shouldn't be too hard to dial that in. Whoops. Bookmarks falling out. So I just praise Him for these good old songs. There were songs that would fit right in with the feast days, with Shavuot, with First Fruits, with Pentecost, or all the feast days, the Day of Atonement and so on. Come you thankful people, raise the song of harvest. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. Yahweh our Maker does provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to Yahweh's own temple, come and raise the song of harvest home. And I'll read the last verse, even more awesome. Even so, Yahweh, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever, purified, in thy presence to abide. Come with all thy messengers, come, raise the splendid harvest home. But the song, We Gather Together, I'm just going to read verse 3 for you. And Come You Thankful People by Henry Alford again. We Gather Together is a folk song of the Netherlands. And most of these are somewhere around the year 1890 or 1901, somewhere 1930 sometimes. Says the first two stanzas should be sung in unison, alternately by the men and women voices, and the last stanza in full harmony. So this is the last stanza. We all do extol thee, O leader, in battle, and pray that thou still our defender will be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Yahweh. Make us free. Hallel. Hallel to Yahweh, that is. So, yeah, I'd like to get into the sea songs again sometime, but I don't want to just take all of our time to go with that. I don't know if they had a category in the index here for sea songs. I just love some of them. They're great. Oh, they have all kinds of categories like special days. They have their own Christian holidays. They're listed, but still we can sing songs like The Strife Is O'er for Passover, for Pesach. Okay, I'm going to put that away. Hope you're staying in shape and being if you are able to at least get out and do an hour or so a day. I usually put in 2.5 hours if I can of good exercise in the great outdoors of the northwest of Oregon, which is still at this moment a free country. We're able to travel from place to place freely and enjoy the beauty of the arbor, the brush, the ever-changing colors of autumn and reddish scarlet tones and golden colors. Oh, it's so beautiful. I get out there, and then the early summer, the Passover season, I just enjoy it even more so to get out there. Not everybody can do that. I know you probably live in the city, and city slickers can be pretty countrified in a way, can't they? That's a wonderful thought. But and be sure to keep up your nutrition just right. I know we get off into junk food and drinking horrible things, and our liver and kidney will take it, but those organs, we really better take better care of them, it says here. Now, there is quite often we quote from Ezekiel 36 about the new covenant. Oh, I have to make a comment. That's one reason I wanted to do this program with you today, that nominal Christianity and neo-evangelicalism believes that the new covenant, the renewed covenant, the renewed covenant, that it begins in Matthew 1 and ends in Revelation, at the end of Revelation. But thinking of it as we go from Malachi and this popular Western version of our scriptures, Malachi, then it goes to Matthew, and in fact the last few words, you'll be encouraged as I read this. Hopefully, there might be those who disagree, out there, but the day comes. This is Malachi 4, and then I'll make my comment, I guess, if you'll allow me. Behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. You have to define what wickedness is by the scripture, not by what one thinks it is or isn't. And the day comes shall burn, saith Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. I think that literal as well as spiritual. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh of hosts. Right now we're very of high spirits because we won a big election in the United States, and everybody is letting their guard down, thinking, oh, now we're safe and we can relax for 4 years because we have a better president in charge of our country. But things can change with the next election or even before that. Okay, continuing verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. Now, this is only three verses away from the so-called of New Testament, it says here in Matthew 1. But remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for Israel, the statutes and judgments. And I'll leave out the inserted word with. Otherwise, it doesn't. It makes more sense to leave it out because it was inserted there. It's an added word. It's in italics. And that's how you can tell that the translators, these modern translators, the King James. Now, I'm not putting down KJV at all, but I do know that it needs quite a few corrections. But it's still from the. I'd have to refresh my mind. What is it from? Masoretic text, I guess. But not from the corrupted Alexandrian text. So the Antioch Jordan text is what we have here in the King James and most of the good Messianic versions of Scripture. Remember the law of Moses and the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Eliah, or Elijah in English, Eliah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, etc. And I come and I'll smite the earth with an utter destruction unless our family relationships are proper, are scriptural, according to the word. Well, we have in looking at that at the text here, at the heading, I should say, it says Renewed Testament or New Testament of Yahusha, our Savior, and so on. But actually, technically, the New Covenant or Renewed Covenant begins at chapter 28 of Matthew, and probably chapter 15 or 16 of Mark. I don't know where Luke would be. He'd be in there in the 20s somewhere. That's when it begins, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah. Okay, so that's another thought there, that Christians refer to this when they make copies and they pass them out around the world, they say the New Testament. But it's actually the Old Testament up to Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke whatever, or Mark 15 or 16, and the book of John right near the end is our new covenant period, when Yahweh will write his laws upon our heart and mind. He won't just write the word, just the word, but he'll write particularly his Torah, it says, in our minds and our hearts, so we won't forget them. It doesn't mean we don't have to study him. It just means when he says, that you won't forget it. I'm very sure that that. Okay, where did I say? Ezekiel 36. I said that quite a while ago. And I will set apart my great name. That's verse 23 now. Ladies and gentlemen, I will set apart my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you profaned in the midst of them. The heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, saith Yahweh Elohim. It says Lord God, so the first word Lord was incorrectly written in English, and it goes back to Baal. In fact, look up the word Baal, and it means Lord. And then, of course, in the Strong's Concordance, they don't do it correctly in the reverse fashion. If you look up, if you don't look up Baal, but you look up Lord, then it says the name of the Almighty or something. But it's just a title. It's not a name. It's only a title, but it's not even correct. So is that right? Yes. And so it says Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, reading the four letters, the Tetragrammaton from right to left. Oh, a lot of information here. But when I shall be set apart in you before their eyes. So we're going to be set apart in Yahweh by walking in his new covenant and conforming to his policies and the whole wedding covenant that we're being a part of right now. We're being grafted in to that good olive tree of Yahweh, into the olive tree, and not to a Gentile olive tree. Look up Romans 11 if you don't know what we're talking about. You're okay. Then Zephaniah, or Zep, it says here, Z-E-P, or Zephaniah is actually the correct spelling and pronunciation. Zephaniah 3, verse 9, or that's the word, the English name Stephan comes from Zephaniah. For then I will turn to the people of pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yahweh to serve him with one consent. That's Zephaniah or Zephaniah 3 or Zephaniah 3 verse 9. So there we are. And already we are getting acquainted with his pure language and doing away with those 50 pagan words. And we do have the links and the verification, the documentation and all that here on the website, YahvehYahweh.name. Back to Micah again. Did we do this? I don't think so. Verse 5 of chapter 4 of Micaiah. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his Elohim. So that's not a good thing, because they have all kinds of different names, namely derivatives of Baal, that they're using, and they don't know it, but if they look it up, and then they'd know. It probably doesn't come out of thin air of that kind of revelation. We really do need to look these things up. But for some people it might. Yahweh could speak directly to them. But why would he do that when it's already documented for you right here in Strong's Concordance and the Hebrew lexicon, the Greek lexicon, so on. Do it. Here I am preaching about the different versions, or I'm teaching about it. Zephaniah, for then I'll turn to the people of pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yahweh to serve him with one assent. So already we can call upon the true name of Yahweh that he is already written in the Hebrew scrolls that we have copies of, and you can get right there on your iPhone or Android device or whatever. Just look up either eSword, which I really love, eSword.com, I believe it is, and the other one that I use is Bible Concordance with Strong's. So be using the King James primarily. Sometimes you can enter in, you know, which version of the scriptures you want, such as the Hallelujah version or the Tree of Life version, and then that way it will use that version instead of some other one. So for all people will walk everyone in the name of his Elohim, and we will walk, though, regardless of what they do, we are walking in the name of Yahweh forever and ever. Yeah, we have started doing that years ago, I guess, a couple of years ago, wasn't it? But now we're walking forever and ever in the name of Yahweh. Isn't it great to be together like that? And we go to the feast days, and they're not all using different, changing Yahweh's name into putting a J or a V into it, or a W. You know what I'm thinking, but probably if you've read all of our resource materials here. But the name of Yahweh that we could all use, and not any perversion of it, or by twisting a little letter here and there with a pen, with a computer, or whatever. We don't want to twist his name and bring it to naught. Isn't there a commandment that says, don't take his name in vain? I don't know. I'm pretty sure there is. Being a little sarcastic. Okay, right on. Revelation chapter 11 now, ladies and germs. And chapter 11, verse 18. And I'm taking out an excerpt from this because the rest of it is all negative, but this part here is more going forward in the affirmative. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the emissaries, or saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. Revelation 11:18. Oh, he's giving a reward unto thy servants. And people argue, well, it doesn't save you to, do this or that or the other thing, or, Old Testament, Jewish works and so on. But the Yahweh's word Well, it says otherwise. He sets us straight if we listen to the Word, not by some speculation in our thoughts that we're told to think a certain, you know, to communicate directly with Yahweh and get some sort of a word from Yahweh privately. No, let's first of all go to His Word, because a lot of times those little so-called inspired thoughts that we might have, they're not infallible. They're wrong. They disagree with the Word. Yeah, I'm sorry, sir, but Revelation 19, we did. No, we didn't. What was that? Oh, that was 11. Okay. Well, there's so much wonderful material, but I'm going to chapter 19 now. And how many? 40 minutes and so many seconds so far into our podcast. Chapter 19, talking about the Almighty Son of Yahweh that is described quite clearly in the book of Yeshayahu. For you Jewish people out there, or Hebrew-oriented people. Verse 12 of 19, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called, not a title, it is not called the Lord, or Hashem, or any other substitute, or Elohim even. No, His name is called the Word of Yahweh, says that in Revelation. Look at the Greek, and then you can interpret that. If you have eSword in your computer, if you have that installed, it's a free app, and you can use it anywhere. So being an app, it doesn't need to be connected to the internet once you download it. And on that, you'll see, as you point to the Word of Yahweh, you'll find out the literal meanings of these things. And it wouldn't come out as G-O-D either. That word is probably interpreted in English as Elohim. Sometimes I shy away from that one too, a Canaanite origin, but I use Yah, which is Hebrew 30:50 is Y-A-H, used in the scripture several times. Then in verse 16, talking about the Messiah, He has on His vesture and on His, now here's a mistake, on His thigh, now that would be breaking the Torah by having any sort of tattoo and exposing your naked flesh. You can't expose your flesh. So it should be, the word was obviously mistranslated. If you look that up in chapter 19, verse 16 of the Revelation, you'll find out that it should have been, and on his banner that he is carrying in this vision of John, John the Revelator, and on his banner a name written, King of Kings, and now that would they be Yahweh of what? Yahweh of all Elohim, I think, or of all judges or masters, leaders, Yahweh of all. Yeah, I like that even better, Yahweh of all, but not Lord of Lords, because once again that goes back to the pagan worship. Now let's turn to Joel in chapter 2. This is Joel chapter 2, verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people together, set apart the congregation, that they be Kodesh. Assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom, or let the groom go forth of his chamber, that's Messiah, and the bride out of her closet, that's us. So let me read that. Let the bridegroom, or excuse me, I don't like that full term there. Let the groom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar. This is in Joel chapter 2. Let the priests weep, and let them say, spare thy people, Yah, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Yahweh, or where is their El? Okay, moving from Joel now, and then I want to go back to Micah for just a moment here. Micah for just a reference in chapter 4, verse 5 now. And we have Zephaniah. We're going to go back there. Micah 4, for all people will walk everyone in the name of his Elohim. We will walk in the name of Yahweh, our Yah, forever and ever. And Revelation 11, we read this one, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. Okay, then Zephaniah, chapter 2, with portions from there and portions from chapter 3. Chapter 2, in Zephaniah. Gather yourselves together. Gather together, O nation not desired. Not desired. That's Israel, isn't it? And before the decree, bring forth before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you. Before the fierce anger come upon you. And I know that he's come upon us here in the USA. And before that day of Yahweh's anger come upon you, seek you Yahweh. All you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. That's talking to you, Germany. Talking to you, China. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. Well, that's people, you know, discuss that rapture theory and all that. But here in Zephaniah chapter 2, talking about being... like the metaphor being hidden in the cleft of the rock. For Gaza shall be forsaken, Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. And I think I'd like to just go to the very last verse there. You can read the rest of that. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly. You might imagine that as Jerusalem, the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passes by shall hiss and wag his head. Well, we've had that, or wag his hand, it said. I always probably read that wrong, but it's wag his hand. So, We grieve about the Jews being discriminated against, and in some cases, some of us probably do need to be discriminated against in our own logic, but that Israel has by far and large been discriminated and persecuted. Almost, you know, I think that's the only the nation that has really been persecuted is our dear Israel. That is scattered in Africa and North Korea, everywhere. We're everywhere. I'm not saying that we replaced Israel, that the church replaced Israel. No, I'm saying that Israel has scattered in the diaspora. We're around the world. We're in the North and the South Pole, you know. Our brothers and sisters. Chapter 3, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. We could think of Rome, or maybe even Portland, Oregon, or San Francisco. Not all of you, just some of the leadership. I hear Portland is improving a little bit. Got a new mayor there back in 2024. But, woe to her that is polluted. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in Yahweh. She drew not near to Yahweh. Well, wasn't I there in church 45 minutes every Sunday? Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. You know, we hear a lot of lightness on the radio. Some of it's okay, or from the pulpit, but not light to the extent that we're not serious and in the Word and serious about our obedience and love toward Yahweh, and concerned about his policies, his Ten Commandments, statutes and judgments. Prophets are light, and I like that last part of that verse 4. They have done violence to the law. You hear that so much on Christian radio and from the Christian pulpits that we've been freed from the law. Well, they if you were to read Romans 7 and Galatians and so on with the understanding that there are several laws that the Apostle Shaul is mentioning here, that is writing about, and one of those laws was the temple law of animal sacrifices. That's what was then our schoolmaster, was the added law, the law of sin and death. Yes, not the standards that are found in the commandments, statutes and judgments, not that law, but the added law. And thank you Jews for Yeshua for bringing that out years ago when they came out with the Hebrew translation and Hebrew paraphrase. So, okay, did I take care of that matter then about the law? And we talked about the careless city there in Zephaniah chapter 2 and 3. And another misunderstanding that we frequently hear is that Sunday is their new Lord's Day. Well, I'm not going to contend or argue, you know, or put anybody down, but let's look at the truth here. Passover, found in the scripture in Exodus 12 and Leviticus, or Vayikra, actually, that's just a Greek word, but in Vayikra 23, or Leviticus 23, and Deuteronomy chapter 12 and 16, so we find that the Passover night begins at the beginning of the 14th of Aviv, of the month, the first month of the year, Aviv, which commonly is called springtime. And so that we know that Messiah said that he would be in the heart of the earth 3 nights and 3 days, just like Jonah was in the heart of the belly of the great fish 3 nights and 3 days. So the Son of Man will be 3 nights. And he said this will be the only sign, only one sign will be given that is so paramount, is the 3 nights and 3 days. Aviv 14, that Passover meal they had, and the following day in the judgment, or judgment hall earlier than that. But then the death of our Savior, his body was buried in that tomb for 3 nights and 3 days. 14, 15, 16, and 17, he arose. Not 18, Sunday, but the 17th was 3 nights and 3 days. 17 minus 3 is 14. 14 plus 3 is 17. It's the greatest, I say it's the greatest error that there ever was in, other than the name of Yahweh, and, you know, but it just seems like the pivotal thing that separates Christianity and separates the true believers from all those around the neo-evangelicalism, if they are still heeding to that old Roman law, the Roman Catholic law. Romans 12 asks, is that too much to ask? It says, for present your bodies a living offering, pure and acceptable unto Yahweh, which is only your what? Unreasonable? No, it's your reasonable service. Romans 12, 1. And regarding the seventh day, oh my goodness, let's hear a little bit from the Sandpipers. Come Sabbath morning.
Come Saturday morning, I'm going away with my friend. Will Saturday spend till the end of the day? Just I and my friend. We'll travel for miles in our Saturday smiles, and then we'll fall. But we will remember long after Saturday.
So that seventh day is spoken of clearly in Hebrews, in the Newer Testament, in the Renewed Testament, in chapter 4. It's clearly specified, the word says, that that Sabbath day is the seventh day, not the first day of the week. Very important, very, very paramount. Yes, it's quite an injunction. Keep the Sabbath day. Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. A beautiful song. Yahweh never changes. I love that. So that's a beautiful song, too, by the Sandpipers there, by the way. And then, and regarding our families and our marriage, you know that Yahweh is, Yahusha, the Messiah, is indeed our husband. And he's a groom right now in our espousal, our engagement period, but the true Messiah. But Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. Well, there he is, the Messiah, loving his assembly, loving his bride. And we should love him in return with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So love your wives even as Yahusha also loved the assembly. And gentlemen, we need to set Messiah-like example to others, especially to our spouses. Even though we might have a tendency to react as we're mistreated by others, or as in revenge. Well, revenge doesn't belong to to us. It belongs to Yahweh, if there's any revenge to be done. And Colossians is another great place to turn to about our marriage, our relationships. Colossians 3, I'm almost done here. Colossians 3:8, but now you put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Wives, now this is Colossians 3:18 now. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in Yahweh. Husbands, love your wives. Now there's many definitions of the word love there. In any language, but truly in every aspect, if at all possible, love your wives and be not bitter. Now, there is judgment coming. We can see a lot of that right now. In the last couple of years in America, we were so terrified that this person was going to get into power and lead country down through another terrible spiral downhill, as we've been doing for 20 years or more, through that regime, the liberals on that side, the goats on that side. But then the pressure is off, of course, for 4 years ahead. But anyway, judgment is coming. The fires are, you know, Yahweh said he's going to burn down our forests. He's going to do a lot of things. There will be a lot of judgment if we do not heed his warning, his precepts, testimonies that we love. So think of Yahweh, the Mighty One, as being our loving one. That he's the creator of the universe, deserves all of our obedience and love and respect, and that he is the sovereign one. His word is sovereign. Here a little, there a little, as we study the word of Yahweh. It's throughout Scripture that we're not to live by bread alone, but we are to live by bread, but also by every word that proceeds out of Yahweh's mouth. So even in the book of Isaiah, we might read about the judgment of Moab, or the burden, or the prophecy of Moab. That can also apply to each and every one of our countries and states around the world. Well, if we didn't already, finishing up here with, with Revelation. And, okay. So, my computer has other ideas, and it may cut me off the air. I see about 1 hour here or more. Let's try to go back. Messiah is spoken of in Revelation 19. Oh, and another one, Revelation 17. 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and this is be after during and after the Battle of Armageddon. They'll make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Yahweh of Elohim and King of Kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen and faithful. Those are those of you who are with him, called, chosen, and faithful. And in verse 12 of chapter 19, his eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head, many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew except himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of El, the Word of Yahweh. As we find here, here we go again, computer, come on, get back. The John chapter 1 tells us of his sovereign word, and then we'll have to finish up because people have to go back to their chambers and attend to their responsibilities. Here we go. John, in the beginning was the Word. Now, if you see also chapter 14, verse 9, and Isaiah, about the 40s there, Isaiah 40. In the beginning was the Word. That's the Son of Yahweh. The Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. Oh, yes. John, the Evangel of John. And we give him all praise. He is mighty one of all, the mighty one of all. He is our Savior. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much all everything that I wanted to share for this time. And this is a final warning. Beware, look at some of the signs around us, and be ready. Yahweh is coming back quickly. And don't be lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm, don't be moderate, extremely moderate. Some are just extremely on the fence, and don't compromise. Some, even in some of our assemblies, even in Messianic, it's just like there's no fear. They're just kind of going through the motions, or we're here to play church or a club or something. It just sometimes comes right down to that. So let's look up. And it's not too much to ask. Let's look forward to the not only meeting with a face and the person of, but with Yahusha himself and the Almighty Yahweh, and looking forward to that honeymoon just around the corner. And in the meantime, we'll have dress rehearsal time at Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, during the late summer, and just a wonderful time is had by all. It's not Jewish bondage, it's not Old Testament, it's renewed covenant. The renewed covenant of Yahweh. Hebrews chapter 8 or chapter 10, either one, take your pick. And be blessed. Avoid the, we believe in this, the fiery of hell, the reality of hell. There is, we have overcome Satan, of course, with the obedience, the power of the Word. Even by fasting. So continue to have that wonderful lilt in your spirit that pick up and being inspired by Almighty Yahweh and his word today. Yes, listen for his voice, but mainly he's the word of Yahweh talks to us through his sovereign word. Yes, it's dogmatic. It's beautiful from Genesis to Revelation for each and every one, Jew and stranger alike. Be grafted in. And until next time, I am one and the same. I'm still the same. I'm Stephan Yah at, give you the email, Stephan Yah with a T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, Stephan Yah at Yahweh.name. And have a great forever. We will see you in years to come, probably very shortly. Have a great feast. Have a great summer camp. If you go to a summer camp and it's dull and you're not getting anything out of it and it doesn't seem like they're keeping on any kind of a theme to encourage you, pick up and leave and have your own. That's what we had to do many times. But have a good time and enjoy feast with Yahweh every day. Bye-bye.